Well, as we take a look at today's scripture, I want to just share something with you. Or I'll share a few things with you. This is a parable that was chosen. That's the only time the Lord drew the veil between the world, this world and the next world, allowing us to see what's beyond and see the intimate relationship between the here and the hereafter. This is a very important matter for us. They've heard the epitaph that's written on one tombstone. So if you think about going to a graveyard and reading what people have written on tombstones, listen to this. Remember, friend, as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, soon you shall be, prepared for death and follow me. Now that's lovely, right? But some jokester decided to add a little extra to that. And they said, to follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. As we look at this particular scripture, there's so much to be said about it. The parable of the Lord found in Luke 16 grows out of the reaction that the Pharisees were really pretty high and mighty folks, right? They really were quite impressed with how they looked, what they did, how they acted, who they were to impress. I don't know about you, but I can get caught up in that. I wouldn't be caught dead. Well, I've got to be careful saying that. I wouldn't be caught alive going out without my makeup on. Why? Or earrings or lipstick. My children would say to me all the time as they were growing up, they'd be in the car. I'd be driving the car, getting towards a destination, and they'd know immediately to reach into my purse and hand me my lipstick. Who's waiting for us at the other end, right? And the Pharisees were much like that, too, that the Pharisees wore fine purple and expensive. And remember, the scripture said he ate scrumptuously. Now, that's a good word, isn't it? Not once a day, not once a week, or once a month, or just at Thanksgiving, every day, right? And what happened is the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard everything that Jesus had to say, and they scoffed at him. They weren't listening to him. Didn't fit into what they had in mind. They openly mocked him. To answer that scoffing, Jesus decides to tell a story. He was a very good storyteller. He told the story of a rich man and Lazarus. And the part I want to kind of share with you this morning is, we don't know the rich man's name. He wasn't named. But Lazarus had a name. And it's not the same Lazarus that's the brother of Mary and Martha. Different Lazarus. I want to repeat a little bit of scripture for you this morning. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linens and who feasted scrumptuously every day. And at this gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, full of sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Obviously, the Lord Jesus wanted to make a point by telling this story. I want to share with you too that when you think about the sores on Lazarus, can you imagine what it's like to be laying down and people ignoring you, walking past? Or have you ever gone someplace and somebody, you wanted to be part of something, that people ignored you? Right? That happens to us frequently, doesn't it? We go someplace and we think, don't you know who I am? Do I have a good attitude? Don't you know who I am? Right? We want people to recognize us. We want people to love us. We want people to take care of us. Right? And the reality to all of this is, oftentimes it does not happen. And that's what happened with Lazarus as he lay there, and he probably became invisible to the rich man. He didn't fit into what the rich man was used to seeing, or wanted to ignore it because he'd have to do something about it. How often do we do that? That we ignore someone or something because it's common. You know, I have to think, too, when we think about the news today, and my husband and I were just having this conversation on the way down this morning, that what's really different today than in years past or centuries past? When you think about things, we've always had evil. We've always had heartbreak. We've always had illness. We've always had so much that has been upsetting. The poor have always been with us, right? And yet the reality to this is TV is 24/7. And it's constant repetition of something. And we become immune to some of it, don't we? When is the last time we talked about Ukraine? Is it still going on? But we're becoming a little desensitized, are we not? Okay, I heard it before. I know they're bombing. Nothing I could do. Could we get on to something else? How many of you are sick of hearing about the pandemic? Everybody is. But the reality is, it's still there. It's still affecting people. What do we do about it? We take everything to the nth degree, don't we? And oftentimes we use our Bible as a weapon, don't we? We use it as a weapon. We take words out of it and we repeat it as if God has spoken directly to our hearts to say, you are in charge of the world. You know, I've often said too that if God ever needed a partner to sit in judgment, I'd be excellent. I am so good at this. But that's not what God has called us to do. And if you pay attention to the hymns that are being sung today, it's got a lot to do with what are we called to do. Never does God tell us to sit in judgment or to ignore each other. Never. There's only one word that he uses more times than not, than anything else. And do you know what the word is? Love. But sometimes we have a tendency, I don't know about you again, but I've got a tendency to only love the people that love me. That's easy, right? So if you don't love me, what do I do about that? Or if I choose not to love you because I don't like what you're doing, where are we going with that? Well, I want to go back to Lazarus for a couple minutes here. As I did some research and some studying, this has always been kind of a tough scripture for me because it's like, okay, Lazarus is laying at the gates. And I was always a little confused over the bread. He was waiting for crumbs of bread to be thrown out. And I get that part, but I knew there had to be more to it. What I didn't know is, of course, they didn't have knives and forks and napkins the way we do because, remember, we're sophisticated. Remember that part? We don't do this in public, right? What they used to do is take a piece of bread and wipe their hands off to clean them and throw it on the ground, the bread. And that's where that came into being, that he was waiting for the scraps of bread just to be fed. And when he didn't get the scraps of bread, dogs came and licked his wounds. Can you imagine? Now, forgive me when I say this. I don't know much about animals. As I told my children, I did really good with them. I can't do animals too. That's my direction went that way. But, you know, their tongues are really rough, right? And I can't imagine what it was like if you had a sore to have an animal's tongue come up and lick you off. It might seem very calming. Something touched him. We want to be touched, don't we? We need to be touched as human beings. And the only people that would, or the only creatures that would touch him is the dogs that would lick his sores. Do we feel like that sometimes when we have pain in our hearts? Who's there to help us through things? How uncomfortable was Lazarus? And yet when we think about the rich man going to Hades, here he's making a pitch to Abraham. Now, we're not talking about God. Remember, Jesus is telling the story. Jesus has not been crucified and died, buried, and rose again yet in this story. So what happens is the rich man is kind of bartering with Abraham. Okay, if I've got to stay here, can you at least go to my brothers? And the reality is the only people he was still loving are the people that loved him. We're guessing. Maybe they didn't love him. I don't know. But he was going to his biological family, taking care of his biological family. How often do we do that? Just take care of people that we know. What has God called us to do? Lazarus laid there. We don't know anything about the afflictions that he had other than the sores. We don't know anything other than the name Lazarus means God is my helper. Do we believe that God is our helper? You know, I often think, too, that most people think that God is a magician. I'm going to pray for something. I'd like it to happen now. Thank you. And oftentimes we go to God and we ask for something, and we step away and we don't even wait for an answer. This particular passage is trying to tell us all the things that we need to be looking at, and that we can't ignore each other. There's a penalty to pay by ignoring each other. And you know, Halloween's coming up. It can be a fun time, but we happen to think about what the devil looks like then, right? All dressed up in the red and the flames going and the pitchfork, right? The Bible doesn't really say that's what hell looks like. Hell is about a place that you go to that you're tormented because you're so alone. There's no one there. It's you. You know, people will make a comment, I guess I'll go to hell because that's where all my friends will be. It's wrong. They might be there too, but they're not with you. To be very careful of how you read some of these things. There's two frequent reactions to the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and the first one is rather pleases us that we like it when somebody that we think has done wrong goes to hell, or we can judge them to go to hell, don't we? That person should go to hell. They're mean. They're evil. They should be punished. Right? And it happens. That's our humanness. Especially when we see other people harmed. We think that, don't we? And yet that's not what God is asking us to judge or do. The Lord suggests that by stating that the rich man was buried, he already had a wonderful burial, and now he's in Hades. Probably Lazarus was thrown into the streets or burned. When I was in Israel in 2013, I was at a house. I think it was Caiaphas's house. And when you looked out on the balcony and you looked down below, you could see this great chasm, this great gully, this great gulf. And that's where people would take their garbage, and you'd burn the garbage, and it would burn all night long. And the coyotes would come there during the day and eat the leftover garbage. And oftentimes, that's where they threw prisoners out there at night to be killed. And they did call that hell as well. See, there's all different kinds of hell for us, isn't there? Self-imposed. What do we expect? You know, I'm preparing you for this. I don't do it often. Again, I'm only here for a minute. But when we do joys and concerns, how often do we get stuck on, gee, what's my joy today? I might have a list of concerns, but what's my joy today? And yet, haven't we been given so many blessings? Sure, we can give a whole list of things that we feel that we'd like to work on or need help with, but where's our joy? I often wonder, too, that, you know, when we talk about our churches being decreased in number, why aren't more people with us? Maybe we're not joyful enough. Maybe nobody wants to hang with us. Why do we walk around with such sour faces when we've been given so much? I was at a church one time, and they had a they didn't have a cross in front of the or on the altar. They had a big cross in the corner, 10 feet tall. But no cross here. So when you're looking this way, you didn't see a cross. And I remember saying to them one time, tell me why the cross is in the corner. And they had it decorated, by the way. They put lights on it. They wrapped it in lights. Now, I knew that the 10-foot cross couldn't go right here, but they had no other cross. And they said, well, we don't know why we don't have one straight ahead, but we do have it over here. And I said, so you put Jesus in the corner? Just a question. When they thought about that, they thought maybe it should look a little different. So we have to help each other through all of this to say, how are we seeing things through new eyes? We're going to sing a song, a hymn at one point, to change my heart, O Lord. Can we change our eyes, our hearing? Can we understand better what the scripture is really saying to us? Can we understand that the rich man was not in hell because he was rich, and the poor man was not in heaven because he was poor? It's because of how they lived their lives on earth. When we think about the figures of flames and water and the tongue and the great chasm, we have to be careful of the words that are in the Bible, that we don't use them as weapons again. And we can't take it literally either. So when we say Jesus is the door, Jesus is not a door. Is he? He's a way. It's a direction for us. You've got to open the door for Jesus. But the door is not Jesus. When Jesus said that his disciples were the salt of the earth, he did not say to go around licking each other. Right? We take things literally only when it's for our whatever we want to say. I said, too, with the Ten Commandments, I get stuck on this one. I'm silly about it. But when it says, thou shalt not steal, we understand what stealing means, right? We don't steal. Don't take anything. What happens when Babe Ruth stole third base? Is he a sinner? See, we use words incorrectly. We get to the point of saying, where are we with all of this? What is God asking us to do? How accurate is this parable to how we look at our lives today? Why is it so hard to believe? Here, the rich man asked for Abraham to be able to send a message, right? To his five brothers. And yet, what message do we have today in we still are filled with unbelievers. Now, doubters are different. We should doubt all you want as long as you continue to seek. Seek and find. Heaven is not just a place for compensation for what we do here on earth. It's a relationship we have with God. But the whole point of the story is what happens after our earthly life is determined by our life now. What are we doing? So, my friends, who do we listen to? Who are we really listening to when it comes to our faith journey? Who do we follow? Are we more interested in just our biological families like the rich man, or are we opening our hearts and hands and extending them to our neighbors and bringing heaven to earth, just as we repeat it always in the Lord's Prayer? May God add a blessing to our understanding this morning. Amen.